The reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 26, verses 1 to 29. And in the Pew Bibles, the pages are 1123 to 1124. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conformed to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice say to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.' So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles." At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for the chains. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I have a question. What verse would you describe as the saddest verse in Scripture? It's not a rhetorical question, so you can put your hands up and answer. Saddest verse in Scripture?
Jesus wept.
Jesus wept. That's one that I've heard before. Any others?
Verse 28.
Oh, you're cheating. Can I have my... There we go. The verse that has always struck me as sad and disappointing is verse 28 in Acts chapter 26, where King Agrippa tells Paul, and this is in the Authorized Version, for those of you who still read it, almost... thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I wonder how Paul felt as he heard those words. After sharing his testimony with Agrippa and bearing witness to who Jesus was and what he had done. And when I think of the story of Paul and how he witnessed to others, I wonder how you and I compare as we seek to fulfill God's command to us to be his witnesses. Here we go. Oh, my gum. So this morning, I want to ask and hopefully answer some questions about being a witness. What is a witness? Who do we witness to? What do we witness about? And probably the most important one, why do we witness? Maybe after we consider these things, we may be encouraged to be as committed as Paul was to being a witness to his Saviour and Lord. So we start with, what is a witness? And this should be the easy one to answer. Let's look at the dictionary definition. An individual who personally sees or perceives an event. To see or directly experience something. To give or bear evidence. In a Christian context, witnessing is normally linked with sharing the good news about Jesus Christ. But some of these other definitions would suggest that to be a witness about Christ, you need to have an experience of him in your life yourself, or you have nothing to testify about. And who do we witness to? If we want an example of how to be a witness, we need to look no further than Paul the Apostle. He witnessed to large crowds as he travelled on his missionary journeys. He witnessed to groups of intellectuals in Athens. He witnessed to devout religious theologians. He witnessed to common, uneducated individuals like the Philippian jailer, and witnessed to high-ranking, wealthy rulers and politicians. He even took the opportunity to witness to poor, unsuspecting Roman soldiers who were tasked with guarding him in his cell in Rome. No one had exemption as far as Paul was concerned. He was to be a witness to anyone the Lord brought within his circle of contact. And that is who we witness to. Anyone and everyone. Can anybody tell me the significance of that date? 16th of March 2025. Day before Paddy's Day. Well, I am extraordinarily surprised that nobody can tell me that that date was the date that Newcastle United won the EFL Cup final. You should be ashamed of yourselves. And Paul, you've got no excuse. Newcastle United won the EFL Cup final, their first major domestic trophy since 1955. I'm sorry about rubbing it in. Now, hands up if you have spoken to anybody in this congregation about that. Even I have, so let's keep your hands up if you have spoken to someone you know outside of this congregation, a relative, friend, or neighbour. They're still there. Now keep your hands up if you have spoken to a complete stranger about it. Dramatic, unusual, important events have an impact on our lives. And we normally talk to other people about those events and experiences, what our view of them is, and often how it has or will impact our lives. Isn't meeting Jesus and being reconciled to him and his Father, receiving his Holy Spirit to live in us and through us, something that is life-changing, that we would want to talk about to other people? Again, we can follow the example of Paul. He often shared his testimony of what Jesus had done and was doing in his own life. But he also took the opportunity of using what others believed or were influenced by to start a conversation about Jesus, and how all other things or beliefs will always fall short and lead to disappointment compared to faithfully following Christ. For example, when he spoke in Athens, he referred to their altar to the unknown God and used it as a way to speak about Jesus and who he was. When Joel Hawksworth spoke back in April, he emphasized the importance of living out our faith in front of others day by day. And it reminded me of a poem that I heard many years ago. I am my neighbor's Bible. He reads me when we meet. Today, he reads me in the home. Tomorrow, in the street. He may a relative or friend or slight acquaintance be. He may not even know my name, but he is reading me. How we witness may change from day to day as we meet different people in various circumstances and numerous places. But that we need to be a witness should be without question. Which leads me to my fourth, unfortunately, final point. Why do we witness? We all have a responsibility to witness. The obvious answer to this question, because we are told to. Acts 1:8-9 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." That's pretty unequivocal and all-encompassing, I would say. The excuse that I can't witness because I'm not St. Paul doesn't stand up. We are all unique, with different personalities, backgrounds, and experiences. God has given each of us different gifts and talents. But one thing we all have in common is the Holy Spirit living in us and through us. How each of us shares the good news with others will be as different for each of us as we are different from each other. But the responsibility to share that good news with others is the same for all of us. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." God has a purpose in using us as his witnesses. By using us, he shows that his all-surpassing power in the form of his Holy Spirit is present in all those who believe and equips and empowers them to live the life he has called them to. As the poem I read earlier suggests, people around us see us when we are in control and well behaved, but they also see us when we are not at our best, when we lose our temper or are not gracious and kind. They see how God deals with us and how we relate to him in those circumstances too. However, why we witness goes deeper than this. John 3:16 tells us God sent Jesus to save us and reconcile us to himself through his death and resurrection, because he loved the world. 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us." And Romans 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Do we love those who are still unsaved enough to share God's good news with them? Do we love them as much as God loves us and them? John 14:15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." Even if we recognize God's command to witness, the motivation to obey is our love for him. And the other point is, we're not responsible for the response of those we witness to. Even those whom Jesus spoke to himself did not all believe and follow him. Our responsibility is to share the good news we know in whatever way and with whoever God gives us opportunity to. But we cannot guarantee they will choose to accept Christ for themselves. We must never fall into the trap of only witnessing to those we think will respond positively, as we would be making their decision for them. And here we come to the verse I shared as one of the saddest, if not the saddest, in the Bible. Acts chapter 26, when Paul's sharing his testimony before King Agrippa in the house of Festus, the Roman governor, Agrippa says these words, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." What can be more sad than to be so close to the riches of Christ and then to turn away from them? But what of us? If we have those riches in abundance and are not willing to share them with others. So, what will we do with the opportunities God gives us this week to witness for him?
So if you're able, I'd like to invite you to stand again and let's sing together one more time.